Today's episode is brought to you by SalesCred Pro, the strategic resource for B2B sales that fortifies your credibility and accelerates the trust building needed for building successful business relationships. Get your free 7-day trial now at salescred.com/PRO. Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts C. Lee Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
As you climb the ladder, Lee, what is the number one thing the people above you as you're managing up look for in looking at you as a candidate to climb?
Well, of course, they're looking for experience or looking for somebody that can do the job. But it's not just whether or not you think you can do the job. It's whether they think you can do the job. It's not whether or not you think that you are ready to take that next step to that next level. It really matters about what they think. So, and also with a lot of my work and research and credibility and my book, Sales Cred, for example, I believe that earning trust is a key part of that, whether or not you're a salesperson or a leader. And the thing is, you can't have trust unless you have credibility first. And this is also what, what really compelled me to pick this one off the bookshelf right here. This is Joel Garfinkel's book on executive presence. And it's, as you can tell, it's well-worn, it's dog-eared and everything like that, because I also believe that you can't have executive presence unless you first have credibility. And this is something that one of the topics that we're going to dive into today.
Absolutely. Welcome to Manage Smarter, everyone. My name is Audrey Strong. I'm the Senior Vice President of Communications here at SalesFuel.
And I'm C. Lee Smith. I'm the CEO and founder of SalesFuel.
Okay, so we gave it away early. It's executive presence. That's the answer. And Joel Garfinkel, the author of that book, is here. He has been an executive coach for more than 20 years and the author of 11 books, including that one, Lee. Hold it up. Executive
here
presence.
We go.
Step into your power, convey confidence, and lead with conviction, which is the topic we'll focus on today. Joel, thanks for coming.
It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to diving into the subject with you guys.
All right. So what is executive presence and why does it matter?
So executive presence is basically, it comes down to showing up with 9 different competencies, and I'll just lay them out. It's, you got to show up with confidence and command and charisma, which is kind of the gravitas entity. And then the other piece is you got to have a sense of authority. Like, people need to see you as a decisive, bold, influential leader. And then you need to be able, how you express yourself, you need to make sure that you're vocal, that you speak up. And when you speak up, what you say is insightful, has a lot of knowledge. And what you say is also needs to be really clear and to the point and succinct. So that's kind of the essence of what executive presence is. And, to talk about why it's important, there was a survey that was done with 400 CEOs, and they said, what was the number one trait that they looked for, the one critical trait that next level leaders needed to have? And 89% of them said executive presence. So if whether you're an emerging leader or you're in your organization, you got to recognize that as you rise up in the company, the more you got to make sure that your presence and your power, the higher the stakes, the more you need that presence, the more you need to be able to show up, because leaders are paying attention and they're looking at you and how they view you. They want to say, they don't always overtly say it, but they want to make sure you're having an executive presence, and that's showing up in their interactions.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know when you have it? I mean, I imagine it's sort of like credibility, where it's just sort of like you might think you have credibility, but it really matters about how each individual person perceives you. And I kind of wonder if executive presence is the same way. It's not just something that you magically have. It's just, it's different at a different level for every person you encounter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I would even add, I've seen many people think they have executive presence in certain interactions and certain situations, but then they look at other situations and let's say, okay, when I'm meeting with my team, I find I have pretty good executive presence. When I go upward and I'm meeting with senior leadership, I realize sometimes I hold back and I'm not as decisive. I'm not as confident and I'm a little more quiet in the meeting. And then they realize their executive presence actually isn't showing up in all situations. So You want to look at different situations, different people you interact with, different meetings you attend, and evaluate from the whole, how's my executive presence showing up and which of my competencies, which we'll get into, am I lacking executive presence? Which are the places I need to kind of enhance my executive presence? So you can look at different situations, different people, and different meetings and see how am I showing up.
So you want to talk about the 9?
Sure.
Okay.
I briefly went over it before, but you have three columns. So you have in this 3x3 model, you got gravitas is in one column, authority is the middle column, and expression is the third column. So under gravitas, senior leadership, people in the company, they need to see you as someone who has gravitas. That means you're coming across as confident. That means you're assured of yourself. You know yourself well, and you believe in yourself. You don't defer to others. You have confidence in yourself and what you're bringing. The second competency under gravitas is commanding. That means you take charge. You show people that you have an ability to take charge, and you come across as a commanding, strong, clear leader that people can feel your presence and your power, and they can feel that you have a sense of command. The third one under gravitas is charismatic. And this is all about bringing enthusiasm, being inspiring, bringing energy, and that's showing kind of a charisma to your situations. People want to be inspired. And so some people feel like they're not charismatic leaders. You still can show enthusiasm and energy and bring some inspiration to your interactions you're having. All of that makes up someone who has gravitas. The second column is authority. So this one, you're really coming across as a leader who can be decisive. So you want to make sure that you are not tentative or hesitant in the decisions you're making, that you make up your mind quickly. You make decisions with certainty, even when you're uncertain. So people need to see you as a decisive leader. The second quality under authority is bold. So you want to come across as, you know, a bold leader is someone who'll put a stake in the ground and own their position. They stand by their beliefs and convictions. So being a bold leader, not being afraid of making some of those tough decisions and maybe even challenge and push back. The third trait under authority is influential. So this is you're willing to convince, compel, kind of persuade people towards a point of view you want to have. And so that's the authority. Those are the first six. The last three are all about expression. This is about the first one under expression is vocal. So that means you're speaking up. You're being forthcoming with your opinions. You voice your ideas. Your presence is felt in all meetings because every meeting you attend, you speak up. Underneath vocal is insightful. So this is about being insightful. You're sharing your knowledge. You're sharing your recommendations. You're asking excellent questions. People can feel your knowledge and what you have and what you bring to every interaction, every situation you're in. And the last one is clarity. This is all about being clear, succinct, and to the point. If you have a tendency to ramble on and go way too much into the detail of things, you want to start to work on your clarity by being concise and to the point. The more concise you are and clear you are, the easier it is for people to know who you are. So these are the nine competencies. You want to work on these and develop these and make sure you're showing up with these in every interaction you have.
And if you ramble on a little bit, it's usually a sign then you don't understand what you're talking about well enough to be able to make it concise enough where you can boil it down into one sentence, two sentences for somebody to understand pretty easily.
Well, that is true. And I would add a lot of people I've worked with have been engineers, people who have been scientists in like biotech companies, and they have incredible depths of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so they're scientists, they're engineers. And so then what they end up doing is they get way into the detail because they know so much about it. They don't know how to give a high level summary to leadership about what they're talking about. They get way into the details and in the weeds. I had one leader tell me that this individual that they were working with, this leader, I was doing 360 review feedback of this leader. And the senior leader said, I overviewed this leader and they gave a presentation. And on one of the slides, they spent 15 minutes on one slide. He said he went and got food and came back and she's still on the slide. And he said she should have spent 30 seconds on that slide.
Yeah.
So it was, and she was brilliant. But she didn't know how to be concise. So she lost her audience. So that sometimes when you're a salesperson, you're trying to persuade people towards a point of view, less is more, especially how much information overload we have today. You really want to get your point across in a very succinct way so people can be motivated and moved by what you're saying.
And all leaders are salespeople.
Yes. Yes.
That's very true.
Yeah.
We did a State of Credibility in America study that Lee spearheaded, and he had some questions about how to tie that into executive presence. Lee, you had a question.
Well, here's something I don't think that will shock you too much. It's like in that study, we took close to 1,100 random American adults, and there was a compelling link that we found between If a leader is viewed as credible in what they say and do by their employees, that you know they're more likely then to see that the motivation of their teams to show up and do their best work every day, you know, grows exponentially. This is a significant difference. I'm guessing that's not really surprising to you, is it?
No, I mean, credibility is so important, and you got to look at it. How much credibility, so let's tie it to the executive presence model. Yeah. How much credibility gets lost when I'm unclear and I'm long-winded? How much credibility gets lost when I am not vocal and I'm not speaking up? And so then people really don't know who I am and what I bring to the table. Or I go and give a presentation or I'm in a situation where I don't have as much confidence in myself. I keep deferring to others and I really don't take ownership. Or I'm too indecisive and I'm not getting to the point I'm trying to make and not being decisive. I have to have 98% of the information instead of 70% of the information. How much does all of this impact your credibility? So you could tie it to the executive presence piece. And once you lose that credibility, then they start doubting you and questioning you mm-hmm. for next level positions and next level opportunities, or even a C-level executive starts losing credibility. Then how much influence are they able to have and how much are they able to impact their in relationships when they lose that credibility?
You did some really great research of your own. And that indecisiveness that you mentioned is a killer, right? I mean, it's like, I mean, it's probably, I think if I recall correctly, it was like on the top of the list as you know, the one thing that can really make you or break you.
Yeah. So I did a survey of 1,400 leaders and I asked them what behavior most undermines your executive presence. And they said it was indecisive. And another way to look at it is you could have a bunch of leaders sitting around the table and they're all discussing you. And senior leadership says, you know what? I want to promote Joel, but he's indecisive. Like, what is that but quality that you have that's going to undermine you? And indecisiveness, it's a big one because people oftentimes go from a place where, you know, if you notice at all, what's indecisive? Do you waver on decisions? Are you wishy-washy? You don't make up your mind quickly enough. You don't move things forward quickly enough. So things get bottlenecked and they stop making decisions and because they're unsure or they're in a culture and an environment where it's all about collaborativeness and building consensus. And so then making decisions quickly, that's not the culture we're a part of. We have to get everyone involved. Well, that slows everything down. And so others can observe you and sit there and say, indecisiveness, when you're doing that behavior, you're showing a lack of executive presence. It's also impacting your mm-hmm. credibility.
Yeah, as the kids would say, Joel's a 10, but...
I have a question. I've worked in some organizations where I just don't have chemistry with certain other leaders. And as much as I want to go in and have a good meeting with them, it's always not a good meeting, even with all the meeting prep and everything. I mean, what do you do when you just don't gel with somebody? And even if all nine qualities are firing, like what's your tip for that? I mean, it does happen.
Absolutely. I think what you need to do is one thing is you gotta take that person because you still have to work with them. And so even though you may not like them and you may not even not respect them, you have to look at it from what I recommend people do is look at it from their perspective. What about them do you not like that they like about themselves? And what I mean by that is look at them and see what are some qualities about them that I do like? And can I pull some of that out? And why is it that they're coming from the perspective that they are? The more you can have compassion and understanding to where they're coming from that you don't respect, the more you can say, I get it now. I get why they're coming from that point of view. You have a little bit of compassion, a little more understanding, and then you're a little more open. Not an easy thing to do, but that's one thing I've seen work well.
And you can let them know that you like that certain thing about them. I think that goes a long way.
Absolutely. It makes you more, you're giving praise and acknowledging them and maybe they appreciate that and they're then more open to you. And when they're more open to you and you're more open to them, then you actually can work together more so when you're both closed off from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people think of executive presence as going to that skyscraper or that boardroom meeting and an office full of people and everything like that. And we don't have offices full of people, you know, after the pandemic as much. So what tips would you have to give to remote workers for maintaining their executive presence when everyone's not in the office to see you?
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes down to when I think about the idea of being is that when you're remote and you have, I mean, it's tough because I think this model and what I've talked about, you can show up, you know, it's important to show up with this presence and with this, and the more in person you are, the better. Now, if you're virtual, I think the key thing is you got to look at it from the mindset every time I'm on a video conference, what am I doing to make sure my presence is felt? And so you're responding via chat, you're vocal and speaking up. Don't get quiet, don't multitask, don't distract yourself because people won't feel your presence. It's literally your presence isn't being felt because already you're not in person. And so then the question is, what do I do? How do I speak up more? How do I respond via chat? How do I make sure I prepare for every meeting I'm doing that's virtual and making sure I have some intention about ideas and suggestions I want to bring forward so they're top of mind. So when we start going in that direction, I have these top of mind ideas and I'm ready to talk about them and deliver them. So I think that's extremely important is really lean into your presence and say, every meeting I attend when I'm virtual, I need to show up and I need to make sure I'm speaking up and that my presence is felt.
Show up when you show up.
Right.
Right.
Let's out of sight, out of mind. You don't want to, when you're not visible, you're out of sight, out of mind. And then you have a risk of being overlooked and your presence isn't felt and you're not being known. And then when you're not known, then people don't know your impact. When they don't know your impact, they don't know your value. When they don't know your value, then you're not going to get opportunities for promotions and things of that nature.
What tips do you offer me if I want to climb? Do I pick somebody I admire above me and ask them to be a mentor or ask them what their opinion is of what I need to do within my specific organization to get to the next level?
To get to the next level, it's great to have someone who is an advocate who believes in you and can champion you. And so someone in the organization who can do that can have a huge impact because now you got someone beside yourself who's speaking up on your behalf. And maybe that's not even your manager. So finding someone that champions your cause. The other thing I do is I tell my leaders that I coach, I say, choose the top 10 or so, maybe 10 to 15, but top 10 most influential people in the company. And then I have them look at three things. I ask them, when you look at these 10 or so influential people, how many of them know who you are? And they'll say, oh, about 90%. And then I say, okay, second question, how many of these people know what you do? Then it drops down to like 50%. And then I said the third part, how many of these people know the value you bring to the company? Now it drops down to 3 or 4%. Maybe even your manager doesn't know the value you bring to their company. So if you start to think about how do I make sure these 10 influential people know my value in the company? How do I start to communicate that value, get them to know it? Because when they sit around a room at a talent review meeting and your name comes up, you want people to share the value you bring. You don't want it to be a blank space when they think of you and your name. So if you're going to get promoted, you identify those 10, you make sure they know who you are, what you do, and your value. And the more you communicate that, the more there's a greater chance that you're going to get promoted because your name's going to come up and everyone's going to have something to say about you.
Let's talk about what happens after that. So after you get that promotion, it's got to be just as important then to radiate executive presence after you take over the new job, right?
Absolutely. And what often happens is that this is an interesting thing I've learned is that when you are at the top of your game and you're the most confident and a lot of times your executive presence competencies are being utilized to a high degree. And then all of a sudden you're at top of the game, you're right here. And then all of a sudden you get a new job and a new role, you know, and in that new role, all of a sudden your confidence isn't as high. Your executive presence qualities may not be as high because you're in that new role and it demands more of you. You're interacting with maybe different people. You have different responsibilities, different outcomes, different results you're trying to achieve. So from this new place, you got to reevaluate your executive presence and the competencies I talked about. Because your confidence, your command, your charisma, it could be really strong in the other job that you're in where you're at top of your game. But then you get that new role and all of a sudden you're not at the top of your game and as much as you were before. So you have to recommit to what you need to do to show that confidence and show that level of decisiveness and boldness that you maybe isn't as much in your mindset as it was before because everything came more easy to you because you were at the top of your game.
What got you here won't necessarily get you there.
Exactly. And so the qualities that got you here, you might have to let them go. And the qualities that's going to get you there, those are the ones you got to start to build and develop. And it's easy to stay with what you know and think that's enough when it most likely in the new role, it isn't going to be enough.
I had a question that Lee and I were chatting before you came into the room, Joel, about imposter syndrome. So what if you have a really bad case of it? How do you make all these 9 qualities fire off and everybody thinks you just got everything going on and everything's fine? You go home at the end of the day and you're like, oh, I don't know.
So imposter syndrome is a really difficult one because there's a situation where other people are projecting onto you that you're better than you actually are. And you're sitting in that room or in that environment, in that situation, in the role you're in, and your confidence hasn't caught up to you yet. And so part of it is realizing, you know, look for the places that you are confident in and lean into that and recognize that your own self-doubt, your own minimizing or critical voice that's maybe making you feel like you're not as good as you, as others think you are, that you might have to catch up to that and realize I am actually really good. And where am I really good? And where do I have some confidence? And what is some of the praise that people are sharing with me? And how are people believing in me? And how do I let that in and let that be the narrative that you're actually embracing versus the narrative internally that might be more self-doubting, more critical, more making you feel less than, making you feel like you're not worthy to be at that table. And so you got to really look at your own approach and say, what am I doing to help internally get myself to feel as confident as some of the other people who really believe in me? So it's like I'm giving a presentation, let's say, and I got an audience of 100 people, and I got 3 people who are nodding their heads sleeping and 2 people who are angry at me and looking at me really negatively. And then I got 85 other people who are believing in me and seeing how great I am. They're leaning in and they're smiling. Which group am I going to look at? And so it's easy to look at the ones you want to change that aren't making you feel that great, but it's also just as easily to look at the ones who make you feel good and believe in you. And so I think putting your energy in the place where people are really believing in you and letting yourself really feel that truth and letting yourself show up with more of your power and more of your strength and more of your presence.
What are some of the behaviors that leaders have that tend to undermine their executive presence and some of the things we want to stay away from?
Yeah, the other one is lacking, I mean, it alludes to what we just spoke about, but a common one is lacking confidence, is where people aren't as confident in themselves. And then people project onto them, well, if they're not as confident in themselves, that means they must lack an executive presence. So it's really, how can you believe in yourself and believe in what you're capable of doing? Some other ones that are pretty common is when you're too quiet. So this might be you're more shy, reserved, soft-spoken. It can cause people who don't know you well to assume that you're not engaging, you're not passionate, and they don't really get to know you. They don't really experience you. And so how do you be more vocal and how do you speak up more and make your presence felt? So even if you're a bit shy and you're introverted, it's important to not let that limit your ability to speak up in meetings and let your presence be felt. The other one I was going to say is being too verbal, too vocal. You're rambling, you're verbose, you're long-winded, and it compulsively speaking, it means that you dominate the meetings. And what happens is when you dominate a meeting, you take up all the space, people start to judge that and think you can't read the room. You don't know how to facilitate a meeting effectively. You dominate the meeting. It's all about you and what your perspective is. The best leaders out there are the ones who can read a room and sit there and say, you know what? If I'm facilitating this meeting, I'm making sure the ones who speak up the most are tempered, the ones that speak up the least are encouraged. And then all of a sudden I have an equal playing field of a lot of interaction, a lot of engagement. And that makes for a pretty remarkable meeting.
I love it. That's great advice. It's GarfinkelExecutiveCoaching.com and you're Joel Garfinkel on your Twitter and also on your LinkedIn. We got about a minute left. Any additional tips before we go?
I would say one of the most important things is really looking at what a lot of people do is they take the 3x3 model, they print it out, they have it in front of them. You could take one competency a week. The whole idea is taking these competencies and putting them and making them top of mind so that when you show up in your work environment, you're showing up fully with all of your presence, with all of your power, with all of your strength, with all of your confidence. And so that people are perceiving you as a leader that has a strong presence. When you do that, you're going to be more encouraged for greater opportunities, greater chances for promotion. So it's really about leaning in and looking at for yourself, how well am I showing up with my presence? And do I need to lean more into my presence? And sometimes You might even have to dial down your presence because it's too strong, and you're too maybe even arrogant and coming across as too strong. So it's getting that right mix where you find that sweet spot where you're making sure you're elevating these competencies that I talked about today, because when you show up with them, people feel your presence, they feel your power, they feel your strength, and they feel like that's a leader I want on my team. That's a leader I want in our company.
Great tips.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Bring that stuff out today.
So glad we had you on your show, on this show. This is one of my favorite episodes. I'm so glad that you came on board, and I love the book. And I encourage everybody to read it.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.